Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
When the prophet Isaiah spoke about the coming of the Lord some 700 years before his birth, when Luke penned out in his gospel the actual narrative, the story of the birth of Christ some 60 years after his death, the world was reeling. There were challenges. There was turmoil. People were striving for peace. They were looking for deliverance from the pain that they were dealing with. It's fascinating if you look culturally, because we know that since the fall of man, since sin entered the world has always struggled for peace. The world has always looked, had the same problems. They existed. They've existed up to this day. If we look at the current news and the status of our present world, it's pretty perplexing, actually. It's confusing, difficult. And I believe at core, this is a spiritual problem. People would not respond and do the things that they do, the atrocities that we see historically, even played out today, if it wasn't a spiritual problem. And I think if we're ever going to find true hope and true peace, we're only going to find it in the supernatural one, in Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. It's important for us because when we look back in the time, there was war, there was bitterness, there was anger. We see that today. There was intolerance. There were differing cultures. There were all these things that were happening, relationships that were coming apart at the seams and causing destruction. And that the only true answer to any of this stuff is something beyond what we could possibly do on our own. And if we look at Christmas and we give presents to one another, our desire is to give out of the love of our heart. We want to give something to someone that we love and we care for, right? It's what we do traditionally at Christmas. But I want you to look at the fact that God himself gave us the greatest present of all, the birth of his son. And while we look at Christmas cards and we see the baby in the manger and all the cute things that go on in our commercialized culture, I want to remind you of not only who the baby is, but what are the attributes? What did he come to do for mankind? For people lost, looking for hope and for peace? Well, he came and he brought love. We know the word love, agapao, the word love is an act of the will to give, to surrender for the betterment of someone else. He came to bring his love. He came to bring hope. He came to bring a certainty, a promise that each and every one of us could hold on to, that he would come into this earth and walk with us through whatever we would face. He came to bring peace, shalom. He himself is peace. And as we look for peace in this world, the only way we're truly going to find it is through our Lord, Jesus. And he ultimately came to do the Father's will. He came to bring salvation to the hurting and to the lost and the confused and the marginalized, the disconnected. And so, let's not just see the baby in the manger, but recognize some really important things about him and why he came. Who was baby Jesus? And why did he truly come? Because sometimes that gets really obscured by our culture. Scripture tells us that Jesus is God and he has always existed. Yes, always existed, even before the creation of the world. And sometimes that just bends our minds to wrap our head around that and try to understand that. But before creation, God existed in perfect relationship, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, completely unified with one another, with real purpose, with a great plan. Genesis 1:26 says this, and I listen to this for a minute. The word says, then God said, the word God here is Elohim, singular. Then God said, let us make man in our image, plural. One God, three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Before creation, Jesus wasn't going to wait to be born as a baby. He was creating and ruling. And I want to read a text to you this morning that I think is really important. It's from the Apostle Paul. It's a letter to Christians. It's out of the book of Colossians. And as I read it, I want you to look at the slides on the screen that represent who our Lord actually is. Listen to Colossians 1. For in him, this is Jesus Paul's talking about, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. He's self-existent, is what Paul's saying. He is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. Can I get an amen on that when we look outside the window at life? This gift that God sent to us in the Messiah, in Christ Jesus, holds all things together. That's important for us to remember, amen? I hope you get a picture that this baby Jesus in the manger is God. It's God. Before creation, God knew all the choices that we would make. Do you realize that? I want to talk to you kids for a minute and ask you guys a question. You've probably experienced this, okay? When you do something wrong and your parents don't see you do something wrong, but they know you did it and they bust you for it. Does anybody experience that right in here? And what do you say? How did you know that? Have you kids ever said that? Did you ever wonder, how did you know that I did things wrong? Because your parents are always right. I don't mean that, seriously. Right? But I'll tell you what, God is always right. And God knows, right? What little hair we have left on our heads, the inclination of our heart, the things that we want to say before we speak them, God knows. God knew that we would choose certain things that were not right. We've got to ask the question, why did he come? Jesus came from heaven. He left heaven to come to earth to take care of our sin problem. That goes back to the fact that he knew our choice, what we would choose to do. And God came from heaven to earth to take care of our sin problem. I want to ask you kids something else. Picture this for a minute. I hope you guys were able to sleep in a warm bed in a comfortable room this morning. I pray that you got to experience that. I truly do. But just for a minute, think about this. You have your cozy bedroom and everything is nice and everything's peaceful. And all of a sudden, your dad comes into the room and says, I want you to go live in the dog kennel out in the garage. How would you feel? Sad, right? Maybe it's a poor example, but I want to give you a picture that just, so your credit card could not buy you a reservation at the Ritz-Carlton that would compare to heaven. We don't know what heaven looks like fully in our mind's eye, right? But we know that heaven far surpasses anything that we can comprehend. It's sinless. It's full of love. It's full of worship. It is pure to the purest sense. Jesus left heaven to come to planet Earth, a jacked up place where sin is rampant. Stop and ponder that for a minute. It's powerful. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us." The Word became flesh and He tented among us, is what the Word means. "We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son," that's Jesus, "who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Do you realize He came to offer grace, the free gift, the invitation of salvation to each and every one of us? He came and He brought truth. He is truth. He came to be a light, to lead us and guide us and direct our steps. Jesus in the manger brought grace and truth. And I love the text that we just read because we don't have to go look for Him. He came to us. Think about that. If that is not a loving God, He came to us. "When He left heaven and came to earth as a baby born in a manger in Bethlehem, He stepped into our time, into our world. He came in flesh and blood." I'm convinced that He got colds, that Mary and Joseph had to change His diapers. He experienced everything except for sin. He was sinless. He came to live among us to do the Father's will. The Father said, "You need to go down to earth to save our people." Think about that. That's why we celebrate the birth of Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves the question, why would God want to be with us considering the mess that we've created down here? Have you ever thought about that? Why would He want to come and be with us? This place is messy, right? Because He came. Sometimes we have this picture of God. It's the word that comes to mind is ethereal, like, ooh, He's floating around in heaven on clouds and the angels. We have this really weird view of God. But because He came to earth in flesh and blood, we now know God's character because He lived it out, what He's like. We got to experience His love, to understand His will, to really understand why we exist. He came to earth so that we would know Him, so that in our finite thinking and comprehension, we would actually understand the very heart of God through someone in flesh and blood. Jesus came so that we could be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. So if we need to be reconciled, then that points to a problem that exists. He came so that we could now be in relationship with God for eternity. He came to earth to rescue us from sin and death. That's why He came. Luke 19 says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's why He came. And if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior today, you are separated from God, who intimately knows everything about you. Intimately knows everything about you. See, when you go against someone or something, you actually separate yourselves from them or from whatever that is. Do you realize that? And that's what sin did. You know, sin, our free will to choose to rebel, sin It offers, I don't know if you guys realize this, but it offers, it promises something like spectacular when you're in the moment, right? When you have this desire, when you want to do it and you know it's wrong, and you're just like, oh, but man, it's going to be so good. And then you do it, and then you realize, whoa, it overpromises and underdelivers every time, right? You guys get that, right? Sin leads us out into a wilderness, leaving no trail back. You ever felt that way? What did I do? How did I get where I am today? Oh, my word. Why the cross? Why the cross? I get that Jesus came to earth to show us who God is, but why the cross? God, in all of his holiness, cannot tolerate sin. He can't. He cannot be indifferent to sin because he is just and he is holy and he is righteous. Do you realize that God is perfectly righteous in how he treats each and every one of us? He is not partial. God's not the God that hands out a trophy to everybody. He gave us a trophy. That's Jesus. But he's not partial. He doesn't choose who and how and like in some sadistic way. He says, I came to earth for you to experience love, joy, peace, salvation. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I want you to think about that text for a minute. For all have sinned. The word in the Greek is hamartia, and it means that all have missed the mark. It's like if you draw an arrow back to shoot an arrow with your bow, you miss the target. But what's fascinating is when you look at the fall short in the Greek, it means that you are unable to keep up with and you fall behind, you lag behind. So you miss the mark because you sin. And it's like this picture, if the train is leaving the station, you are incapable as much as you think you can sprinting and trying to jump on the train, but the train's left. Paul is saying all have missed the mark and lag behind the glory of God. All. Who's the all? All of us. Yet out of love, God gave us free will. You realize that relationship without free will is not a loving relationship? You can't demand love as much as you try. For relationship to be truly loving, free will has to be offered. And God gave us free will. And in our free will, we rebelled. We wanted our own way. Does anybody in here want their own way? Right? We all get it. We want our own way. We chose sin, and sin separated us from God. And you might be going, well, that was Adam's problem. But you know what? Paul addresses that in Romans 5. Here's what he says. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, in this way death came to who? All people, because all sinned. Ouch. So what does he mean by death? I think he means death spiritually and physically. I think it's spiritual because we've been infected with the gene of sin. We have a sinful nature. And I believe physically death, because of the fall and because of sin, we are mortal beings, meaning 100%, we're all going to die. Right? There's no other way to look at that. It happens to us all. But I love Romans 5, verse 6 through 8. I get a lot of hope from this. This really helped me when I came to Christ. He says this, Paul says this. Listen carefully. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, what does that mean? It means when we were incapable of fixing ourselves, our problem, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Can you comprehend that? If that's not love, I don't know what is. I thought about this the other night. Couldn't Jesus have just come to earth and said, hey, this is how I want you to live. Can you guys just all get along? Can't you just be nice to one another? If that was his only message, how well has that worked? Anybody try to be nice and blow it in here? Right? Just be nice. No, sin has consequences. If no consequences, then God wouldn't be just and holy. Do you realize that? If God just acquiesced to whatever we wanted him to do, he would not be God if there weren't consequences. And I want to share this, and I don't say this to be mean, but none of us in here are smart enough, good enough, talented enough, creative enough, although I've been pretty creative, to fix our sin problem. Do you realize that? It's bigger than what we can do on our own. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. It's back to that separation piece from God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift from God, the grace that he came and brought. Jesus came to take our punishment as the perfect sacrifice. Remember John the Baptist? Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. He came as the perfect sacrifice so that justice could be achieved. So that God would remain holy and just, he had to send someone in our place, perfect and sinless, to pay the price for our sin. Do you realize this is the good news? Because there's no way we could do it. Our sin was paid for. Jesus came so that righteousness would be extended. In other words, so that right standing with God the Father would be extended to those forgiven, those who have repented, turned from their sinful ways, not perfectly, but repented, turned toward God, had a change of mind, repented and said, I realize that I cannot fix my problem on my own. And I need Jesus. I need Jesus to save me. He extends righteousness to those of us that put our trust, our hope, and our faith in a loving, peace-giving, merciful, yet just God. Amen? It's the good news. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world. You know, we hear this text all the time. I just let it sink in for a minute. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Can I get an amen for that? Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Christmas reveals the great love of God that Jesus, born in a manger, would one day march to the cross to take our sins upon himself, to save us, to offer us salvation, to lead us back to the Father. He offers us this gift of salvation and eternal life, which transcends any creative way that we might try to do to fabricate our own peace. Because that's what we want, is peace. I'm 100%. I was just talking to a friend this morning. Like, you know how in life you're like, well, when I get to this place, then there's going to be peace. And when I get to this place, when my kids grow up, and you know what? Life continues to bring drama into our lives, right? And so when we try to fabricate our own peace, it's elusive because it rises and falls on whatever circumstance we may be going through. But Jesus himself is peace. You cannot have the peace of Jesus without receiving Jesus, because Jesus is peace, irregardless of whatever circumstances you may be going through, right? Jesus is the one constant who supernaturally gives us his agape love to respond differently, who gives us this certainty, this promise. Trust me, I know what's best for you. I will give you peace beyond all comprehension. I don't always know what that looks like. I just know there's no other place I can get it but to get on my knees and go, oh God, help me. Right? Paul says this in Ephesians 2. For it is by grace that you've been saved, through faith, through putting your trust in him, through humbling yourself, through repenting and putting your trust in him. And this is not from yourselves. In other words, I love the way Paul does this right here. He's basically telling us, you can't do this on your own. Here's why. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, right? Grace. Not by works. Why? Because we would boast. We would take credit for it, right? So that no one can boast. Verse 10, I want you to hear this. For we are God's handiwork, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. If you ever want to know what the will for your life is, Jesus came down from heaven to transform your life, to save you, to put his spirit in you, because you are his masterpiece and he wants to use you for important things on planet Earth. Isn't that cool? Do you realize we're no longer an enemy of God when we receive him as Lord and Savior? You cannot not be an enemy of God if you have disconnected from him, if you've rejected him. And I don't know about you, but when I think about some of those slides and pictures of who God is and what he's created and how powerful and mighty and sovereign he is, I don't think being an enemy of God is a good decision, do you? Question for you. What will you do with Jesus? Will you put him back in a box with the rest of your ornaments until next year? This is just a cute little story of a baby in the manger. Or will you open up your hearts and receive the gift of eternal life? Peace himself. That's what he offers you this morning. Do you realize that he loves you beyond all measure? He demonstrated it by sending his son to earth. He knows your hurts, your hang-ups, your problems intimately. He knows every detail about your life because he's a good father and a good parent. He makes it his purpose to know every need that you have. The question is, will you let him lead you through life? Everybody's been invited. The gift. You have a choice to make. Titus is going to come out and he's going to lead us in communion and I encourage you just to open up your hearts and be willing for the Lord to just let you enter into this intimate time, right? Go ahead, buddy.
What Jim just explained to us is the gospel. And if you are 16 years or younger, could you just stand up on your feet and help me with something? I want to review it one time quickly in a way that made sense to me when I was a kid. Stick one finger out. Four parts of the gospel. The first part is that we belong to a holy God because he created us. He owns us. He owns me. Two fingers. Put them out. I'm a helpless sinner. I'm not just broken. I'm helplessly broken. I cannot be right with God in just trying harder in 2024, going to church more, giving more. It's not possible. It's only until I realize, okay, I'm helpless, that leads me to number three. Put three fingers out. That God the Father gave God the Son as my perfect substitute because he never sinned, he never had to die, which means that he could willingly give himself on my behalf. He's the sufficient substitute. And number four, put four fingers out. Gospel's not just something to know in your head, it's something to believe and then live. That comes down to personal faith. You can take a seat, thank you so much. That's the question for you right now. Like, what are you gonna do with this? Are you just gonna believe it, or are you gonna live it? We're gonna have some people that are gonna stand up and they're gonna walk and pass out communion, which if you've been here before, looks a little bit different today than other days. You're gonna need to flip it upside down so that the bread is on the top. While they do that, I just have a question for you. If you believe, there were some people that were preached to by Peter and they were cut to the heart by the Holy Spirit and they're like convicted, like, yes, there's no way to be right with God the Father except through what Jesus did on a cross like that one over there. If you believe that, then next week, the first step of obedience, if you truly believe that, it says, he tells the whole crowd, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. We're gonna have an opportunity to be baptized next week. If you're like, yeah, I'm believing that now. We're gonna have some people at the end that you can pray with that are gonna be up here underneath those lights and these lights. And you can say, hey, here's where I'm at. Here's what God is doing in my soul today. That's the first step of obedience. There's another step of obedience, which is communion, where we celebrate the cross, we rejoice and remember, and we look forward to Jesus' second coming. But before we do it, it's sacred ground. And so if you're a parent and you have kids with you, it might be an important thing to just say, hey, if they don't understand the gospel, say, hey, just let that pass. We can talk about that on the way home. We can talk about this because they're like, hey, what is this? What are you guys doing? We don't do this in children's church. You're like, okay, let's chat about that on the way home. We don't want to treat this anything less than holy and sacred. We're remembering what Christ has done on the cross. We're remembering that he didn't stay dead, but he rose again. Just like we too will rise. So before we celebrate communion, let's just take a moment of prayer. I'm gonna stop talking, and you just have a time to thank God for what he has done for you. The Bible says this, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This time you'll need to flip it over. In the same way also, he, that is Jesus, took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And I love the way these verses end. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. We're looking back to the cross. We're celebrating the victory that he won there that day, that I can be right and have the peace of God like Jim preached. Because I have Jesus, his righteousness on my account. He says, until he comes. He came once as a baby, he's coming again. We look forward to the day where he's not coming as a baby the second time. He's coming as a mighty king, warrior, ruler. Lord Jesus, you're great. And God, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. We thank you that we can be right with you because of grace through through faith. Lord, I pray there would be new life in this room today. God, that people would truly decide, Lord, to follow you and walk with you and feel the love and the hope and the peace and the joy that we have because of you. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. You can take this piece here and pass it to the aisles. They'll come back and pick those up for us. And we're gonna continue with a candle lighting. So all of you kids can just twist this bottom piece right there and turn it on. I know you've probably been practicing. And this candle right here, I'm gonna go light it on that unity candle with three wicks, three flames, representing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. There is no other light in the world except for His light. You can't find joy, hope, peace elsewhere. You only go to Him, and that's where you find it, which is why we find ourselves in a really dark world. Because people are like, God, get out of politics. God, get out of our school. Get out of our home. We don't want you here. But they don't realize they're asking the light to get out, and then they're like, why is it so dark? But the cool thing is, not only is He light, but then when I put my faith in Him, He puts His Holy Spirit inside of me, and I become light to a dark world. And it's gonna start like this, where someone says, I believe. And I'm a lone light in a dark world, but we were never meant to do the Christian life alone. We were always meant to do the Christian life in community. And then Asa here, and this is the best way to not get hot wax on yourself, by the way, is the person who's coming over to tilt it. He now has the light, not because of a miracle that I did, but because of what God can do in and through us. He says, you're not just saved, you're messengers. You've got the hope of the glory of God inside of you. You pass that on, and now He goes. And one reaches one, reaches one, which is why we say at Real Life, we exist to reach the whole world for Jesus, one person at a time. And then they go out, just like Jesus said right before He ascended to heaven, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You reach your neighbor. Sometimes the hardest mission field is within our family. Sometimes God's saying, hey, I've called you right here to Athol. I've called you right here to Spirit Lake to go down to that school and be involved and volunteer and encourage teachers. Maybe to use your job that you already have as a way to say, I'm gonna pass this light on. But let me show you what would happen if something else. Let's all pause. Don't pass the light on. Everybody, nope, don't pass it on. Just keep it right there. What if all of a sudden we didn't want to anymore? We're like, hey, we're not gonna continue out this great commission that Jesus left with to go and make disciples. All of us are comfortable. We have our light lit. We're gonna sing Silent Night, and the rest of you in the dark, I'm sorry, but you don't get to participate because you look a little scary. It's a little bit awkward to come to you. We're afraid you'll reject us, and so we just kind of holy huddle here. What if we just stayed and we never went to those in the dark, because there's over 3 billion people that have not heard the gospel, and some of them don't even have Bibles translated into language. What if we don't go and we don't do this? Then the dark remains dark and we just enjoy the light. But God says, I didn't just give you the light for you to enjoy. I didn't just give you hope, joy, and peace for you to enjoy. I gave it to you that you would take it to the ends of the world, which sometimes is right across the street. So I need just a few of you, not the people, the ushers in the aisle. I need a few of you to get uncomfortable, both here today and in life tomorrow, that would take the light and keep on spreading it to those in the back of the room who don't have it. Just to get up, I know it's a little awkward, but to get off your seat and go back there and continue the passing of the light on. And when it's done, then collectively as an entire room, we will sing Silent Night together.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.